T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to the program. We've got Dr. Mark Epstein. We're expecting Tim Wenger here shortly, and we've got your calls as well. Let's go to the phones, and let's go to Eric in... Oh, we just lost Dr. Mark Epstein. Let me switch that up. Hey, Eric in Wheatfield. Go ahead. We'll get Dr. Epstein back. Eric, go ahead. You're on.
Hi, David. Yeah, I want to truly applaud Mr. De Niro for what he's doing, what he's trying to do, what he's been doing, along with the barber from Southgate Plaza. But I can also understand how so many people, so many business owners would be concerned about doing this, about, you know, the cost associated, you know, fines, losing licenses, things like that. I've got kind of a thought that maybe a compromise for it. What would you think if everybody, you know, if the word got out and if all these business owners, rather than opening for business, they opened for protests? They don't provide any services. They make it clear. They want their customers to show up for a protest. We're not going to provide any services. We're not going to sell any goods. We want you there to protest this.
You know, I
Williamsville would look like Main Street.
Eric,
with people there.
You know, Eric, I've gone through the whole thing about, you know, what the ways around it. What this message is really about is no one's trying to be cute anymore. You're absolutely right. There are ways that you could say, I'm not here for business. I'm here for charity. I'm here to have a meeting. I'm here to protest. But really what it comes down to is these people, they're not playing games. They're not trying to be cute. They're not trying to circumvent anything. They're making a stand and they're saying, I'm willing to be fined. I'm willing to be imprisoned. This is more important than being cute. And I totally am with you with how you can try to circumvent this and that and do other things. But it's just, that's not, I don't think that's where it's come. I think that was probably 4 months ago. Now you have general outrage. There's angst and outrage, and these people just aren't backing down.
I agree with you. I'm 100% with that. But I just feel that you'd get more support, and there might even be more media coverage if there's actually people outside protesting rather than customers coming in and out of stores that nobody sees.
You may very well be right, Eric, and I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I appreciate your call, Eric. Thank you very much. We have Tim Wenger on the clean feed. Tim is going to be joining us now. We also have Joe Beamer in studio, and we have Dr. Mark Epstein on hold. It's like Circus of the Stars here. How you doing, Joe?
David, doing well. You know, surprised by what we didn't hear at that press conference today.
We're going to get to that in like 2 seconds. I want to first go to Tim Wenger and talk about yesterday, and we had Robbie De Niro on today for almost an hour and a half. Tim Wenger was there last night at Athletes Unleashed in Orchard Park. Tim... you've covered a lot of stories and, you know, the national news, he was on national TV and then he, you know, does a local press conference essentially, but there was a lot going on in that room and you were right there to witness the whole thing. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, it was really, really weird. We had two different sources that I had reached out to me. One said, make sure you watch Fox News at 7 o'clock. So I'm like, okay, sure. You know, and I alerted everybody, and we're going to watch Fox News at 7. And then about 10 minutes after that, I got another bug in my ear that said something's going on at his gym. You know, there's another protest or rally, whatever you want to call it. So I'm not too far from there. I rode over, and when I got there, was still a little confused about what was going on, but quickly, you know, figured out that he's going to go live from the gym, and he had surrounded himself with about 100 was about the best count I could get of people, you know, inside that relatively small gym as far as I'm concerned. And it was something else, David. I mean, it was really, it was like a, you know, a rally that you'd see, a political rally, you know, with you know, men and women gathered there with flags and, you know, chanting and cheering. And that all leading up to when Robbie went live on Fox News, and then he did about the five-minute thing on Fox, and then he had a short rally afterwards and talked about some of the things they're going to do over the next several days. But really, it was a kind of a surreal thing, the way he's handling this. And, you know, I heard you talk about this morning, and this might be something that I think listeners will want to talk about too. And you brought this up that, you know, I get it. There were a bunch of maskless people in the room. I was there with my mask on, and, you know, a lot of people were maskless. And I covered a lot of those protests, as you well know, back in May, and I covered them in June. And, you know, whenever they happened, Brendan Keeney was out there as well. We all were. And, you know, there really was never a mention. It was always brought up that that was a constitutional right, that, you know, the protests went beyond a normal gathering of people and anything that would be considered to be quote unquote risky. And we're not hearing that now. And it's a little bit troublesome to me from a reporter's standpoint. I'm not condoning a bunch of people in the room with a mask, but I am a little bit, concerned that, you know, he might be being targeted for stuff like this when other gatherings weren't.
You know, Tim and Joe also joins us. We have Dr. Epstein on as well. Here's the thing, the takeaway for me. Today on WBEN, we heard from Comptroller Stefan Mihailu, Erie County Comptroller, who said, I'm taking my authority back, and when these fines come in from the Department of Health, I'm not allowing them to be direct deposited into the general fund. I will be ripping up fines myself. Then you have Robbie making the statement of, I'm opening for business on Monday, and I'm encouraging as many other business owners to open for business on Monday. Now, WBN and Entercom Buffalo, we are not encouraging anyone to break the law. We're not encouraging anyone to not wear masks. We're just reporting what other people are saying they're going to do and getting your feedback from that. But taking all of that into the equation, I mean, that's really, I mean, that's the most controversial thing I've ever heard ever on this station. You've got people basically saying, no matter what happens, I'm not going to comply. I'm going to open up my business. Other business owners saying I'm cutting hair on Monday. And then Stefan Mihailu saying, if you get fined, I'm going to rip it up. I mean, this is unprecedented.
Yeah, and I don't know what's going to happen come Monday. I think that, you know, I have a lot of concern about that. And this is not interjecting opinion or political thinking or anything on this. But, I mean, when you have a bunch of people and business operators, you know, led by Robbie and a very, very motivated, you know, group of people that are going to defy, you know, what is, you know, being told as, you know, stipulation by the state. I don't know what's going to happen. How do you stop that? And if you do stop it, what happens when you do? That could be a very troublesome day here in Erie County, as far as I'm concerned. It's going to be interesting to hear what Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz has to say about the situation last night. And I do hope that he addresses this at 2:30 square on. He danced around it a little bit the other day. He didn't talk a ton about it, the Friday night incident, that is. And I understand that. He wasn't, you know, I don't know how much he was brought up to speed by that point, but, you know, they had the demonstration outside his house. I think he was a little agitated. But I think clearly now you have a $15,000 fine that was levied against this guy. He's resisting it. He ripped it up, you know, live on national television last night and saying he's going to open the gym on Monday. I do think he needs to address that individually as an act, and I think he needs to address it on a more grander scale with a message to other businesses, as you've mentioned, who are considering doing the same thing.
Joe, the takeaway from the Cuomo press conference, there was a question asked by the Monroe County, actually someone asked on behalf of the Monroe County Health Commissioner, saying we're not seeing contact tracing coming from gyms or coming from hair salons. It almost took Cuomo off guard. He didn't really know how to respond to that. And then the answer was essentially the percentages tell us this is where threat is. So that's why we decided to close those down.
The percentages that none of us have seen And it's like he didn't think someone was going to ask him that question. I mean, all you have to do is look at social media, listen to talk radio. People are saying, where are these statistics that say the cases are coming from gyms, restaurants, or salons? Interesting development out of Pennsylvania. Tonight, they're stopping alcohol sales at 6 o'clock. You can't go to a bar. You can't get alcohol from 6 o'clock today until Friday. According to the Pennsylvania Bar and Restaurant Association, 2% of COVID cases over the last 3 months, 2% of those, the people that had COVID said they had been to a bar or restaurant. Not that they had contracted it there, but that they had been to a bar or restaurant in the 2 weeks prior to testing positive. So where are these statistics? You know, people, I had a caller yesterday say, Joe, this is crazy talk, asking for statistics. It's crazy to ask for proof, especially for the business owners, someone like Robbie, to just say, hey, we see, if you showed me a piece of paper and said 30% of COVID cases were from gyms, okay.
Shut them down.
I'd shut up.
Well, you know, Dr. Epstein is also here, Dr. Mark Epstein. You know, Dr. Epstein, when we go back to Prohibition and speakeasies were busted, this was a constitutional amendment. It said no alcohol. The owner of the establishment went in handcuffs. The people drinking went in handcuffs. The people serving went in handcuffs. This was all a criminal act. And yet now what we're seeing is enforcement, it's only on the owner. How does that translate today? If we're using laws from 1903, if we're going back to some of these enforcement laws in the early 20th century, as we fast forward to 2020, do we get to the point where if you're legally opened in a restaurant and you're having a burger, that not only does the owner get in trouble, but the person eating the burger gets in trouble, the server gets in trouble? Where does this go?
Well, could I just to digress for 1 second? The reason that that press conference didn't say anything and go anywhere was because Fox had made this a national story. So the governor wasn't going to hand out any red meat that was going to give this story legs. And so if you listen to his like a Norm Crosby comedy routine with the turkey and it's too dry and the foil and all this kind of business, these were all sound bites, believe me, no national news show is going to use. So that, I think, is a partial explanation of why nothing was said. He doesn't want this story continuing. And if he could have had his way, he wouldn't have been in Monroe County today. It was just, it turned out that way. I guess they couldn't cancel it. In terms of what they're doing, it's funny you bring up Prohibition, because the truth of Prohibition is that in the major cities, there were speakeasies everywhere. They weren't always being raided or anything like that. That's in the Untouchables. I mean, the liquor was flowing.
The enforcement was laxing. Now, let me go to Tim Wenger for a second. Now, Tim Wenger, in Orchard Park, where Robbie De Niro has his gym, we got a question in from the newsroom, and it honestly is a question I've been asked on the air at least 4 times in the text board. Tim Wenger, when the Buffalo Bills are within a stone's throw of a gym in Orchard Park, how does the county juxtaposition the fact that these are both private entities, private enterprises, but the Bills are playing a contact sport with testing? They're allowed to have all of their facilities open and do what they do, but a private owner who's not even a quarter mile away down the road, he has restrictions on him from the state. What is the ruling? I mean, is that a legitimate question?
I don't know. I think the NFL has such a, you know, internal control over their COVID situation with the testing, and they are privileged. There's that. I mean, these sports leagues are privileged. They have access to testing that Robbie De Niro does not have. You know, he can't require, I guess he could, but I mean, he really can't. He doesn't have the wherewithal or authority to be able to say, you know, you can't come to my gym without being tested, and, you know, every employee needs to be tested continually and live in a bubble. You know, and that's what these NFL guys are, you know, continually under that bubble and being tested. So I don't know if it's a fair comparison. I do think there's one thing I want to raise, and I think Dr. Epstein, I'd love his perspective on it. And I think I already know David, yours and Joe's, but, you know, last night, you know, as I was pushing out information, that's all I was trying to do is push out, here's what's happening at Robbie's gym. You know, he's doing this, he did this, he ripped up the fine. And, you know, I see a lot of backlash coming back at me saying, or at, you know, at the tweets, et cetera, saying, Well, if you don't break the rules, you don't get fined. If you don't break the rules, you don't get fined. But Robbie's questioning the rules. I gotta believe there's a place we can all coexist, because I think the four of us communicating right here all believe that COVID is real, right? It's something that's dangerous, can be, to certain people, certain sectors of the population, and there's something that needs or can be done to prevent it, or slow it, or curtail it in, to some degree, but it's not necessarily what's being done. And what's happening is you can't be anywhere other than you're either, you know, take all the restrictions away.
Right.
And you're someone who just casts caution
to the wind. Can we respect COVID and not the rules?
Right. Or change the rules.
And
that's a two. And I'm not just saying that to you, to Joe, to Dr. Epstein.
No. It's a brilliant.
I'm saying to Governor Cuomo, can you at least hear what's being said? Can you hear what Joe is saying? Why can't you provide the statistics? And if you can't or won't for some reason, why? And, you know, is there a different way? It's just like, this is the way and I'm right. And, you know, on the other side, I'm right. And I don't know if either side is right. But somehow I think as a society, you got to figure it out. Because I think we all have the same end game, right? Is a happy, healthy livelihood, lucrative, you know, for these businesses. No one wants to see that. I do agree that there's no one that wants to see a business suffer. But I think it's just being handled inappropriately. And I think the heavy-handed, mishandling is happening on the government side. And it's forcing people like Robbie to make these really difficult decisions that are going to, you know, unfortunately, I think, blow up in all of our faces.
Dr. Epstein, what do you think about that?
I think he's right. I have friends. I have two of my friends. They're married. One is a virologist, head of it at one of the lab at one major medical center in the five boroughs. Her husband is chief medical officer of one of the major medical centers in Suffolk County. They're both extremely careful. They actually go into work as little as possible. It's dangerous. It's highly contagious. You have to be smart. Social distancing, the efficacy of the masks, there really are no good blind studies done on mask efficacy. But social distancing, the synagogue I go to is extremely strict. You have to register the numbers, the way the seats are laid out and services. They're very, very limited as to the number of people who could be in a given space at one time. And so you have to be smart about it. But you also have to be even-handed about it. And that's the point we've been making. So why do we single out specific businesses? Why do we exempt people who decide to run riot in the streets? These are questions that the political class has to answer us. They have to come up with answers for this kind of business. I go to a gym. They went through all sorts of it's a very small gym, so there's never more than like a few people in the place at a time. But they changed their filtration system. They go through all sorts of protocols. I feel safe when I go into this place. Everyone has to wear masks, and there's sanitation, wipes and everything all over the place. I don't know why these people get singled out. I just can't figure it out, especially when you don't have numbers indicating that you've had the disease spreading out of these places.
Well, you know, thank you, Dr. Epstein. Joe Beamer, you know, when you hear what Tim just said, taking the idea of the general population needing to know, the business owner needing to know, really what this does, though, is it takes yellow areas that have low infection rates per people that are being tested in the yellow areas, and you're taking people in high infection areas. You're not stopping their travel. You're not forbidding them to go anywhere. So now people in high infection areas are going to go and get their hair cut and work out in low infection areas, which is essentially spreading the disease. And now you also have people that are saying, I want to protect my clientele. And if I'm not being told I have sick people, hepatitis in a restaurant, the Department of Health tells everyone, this restaurant, hepatitis, lock it down, stay away. What do you do if you can't protect your own clientele from a COVID outbreak if no one's telling you that there is a COVID outbreak?
Right. I'll tackle the second part first. You know, when we have, you said, a hepatitis outbreak, That's on the news. I mean, that's top story on the news. It's in the paper. Where is the story of the COVID outbreak at a restaurant? Wouldn't it be the exact same as a hepatitis outbreak if there was a COVID outbreak at a restaurant? And David, this was actually going to be my topic if we had gone red. How busy was the outlet mall going to be on Friday if we were red, but Niagara County was only moved to orange?
And then what happens to the infection rates in Niagara County?
Exactly. Right.
You're literally spreading the disease, essentially.
I went to get my haircut on Saturday in Niagara Falls, where you can still get your haircut. And let me tell you, the place was packed. I had to go on the app. I had to wait 2 hours before I could get my haircut. And it just looked like everyone had taken their business, gone to the gym in Niagara County, gone to get their haircut in Niagara County. It's not fair to the business owners here. And if we really are supposed to be going with these cluster zones, like you said, it's moving the infection rate up to Niagara County.
Well, I got a full bank of calls. I've got Joe Beamer. I've got Tim Wenger. I've got Dr. Mark Epstein. And you, 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBN. You can text us on the Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board, 803-0930 as well. We'll take your calls and the panel right after this. Welcome back to the extended program. We're all the way live until 2 p.m. We're expecting to hear from Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz at 2:30. We have Program Director of WBEN, Tim Wenger. He is on the line. We have Dr. Mark Epstein, who is our guest analyst, on the line as well. We have Joe Beamer, who is here socially distant in studio. And we're taking your calls at 803-0930, 1-800-616-WBEN. You know, when we left him, we were just talking about the different ways that we can look at this. I heard Byron Brown make a statement, Mayor Byron Brown, the city of Buffalo. There was empathy, and he actually addressed business owners, and he knows that this is difficult and this is hard. I've not heard any of that from the county level, and certainly, you know, from an empathy point of view, Andrew Cuomo sounds like he's a robot. There's no consequence to what this is actually doing to business owners and, honestly, the rest of Western New York.
Yeah, there is definitely that. You know, when I hear public officials, and I would agree that both Mark Poloncarz and Governor Cuomo do the same thing, they will go as far to say is, I'd rather see a Walmart close than, you know, and then they compare it to, you know, like there's going to be people dying in the parking lot. And it's just an unfair characterization. And here's the point I wanted to make is, you know, come on. We all want to see people be healthy, right? There's nobody listening to this radio station right now that's saying, you know, just COVID be damned. And, you know, if people get sick, I don't care. You know, we're humans. You know, we don't want that. But I've never heard a doctor or a epidemiologist or you know, any.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Anybody of authority in the public health world say that we should be closing some of the stuff that we're closing? And this goes to Joe's point that he brings up all the time. You know, so where's the data? They say during these press conferences, they get up behind the podium and they say, here, follow the data. And there's no disputing, right? There's a big graph and it says there's more people in the hospital now than there were last week. And there are more people sick now than there were last week. I'm not debating that. But what I think we're debating is what to do about it. And I've never heard an expert or a doctor outside of perhaps Dr. Burstein, who might have to because she has to stand at the same podium, say that we should, you know, lock down gyms, lock down restaurants, lock down small businesses and stores, yet let Target open and run rampant. It doesn't make sense, and I think there's no reception being heard, you know, on the end of you know, Governor Cuomo, whether it's Mark Poloncarz, Gail Burstein, and, you know, go beyond in other states as well. That's frustrating to me that, there's nothing to...
Yeah, I mean, Wegmans should put a rowing machine in a barbershop inside their store and it would be okay. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It really is confusing. And the other point that you make, Tim, that I think is really spot on is that, you know, as we're deciding, you know, the CDC makes statements. It's a novel virus. Nobody knew what this thing could do, or what it was about. But at that same time, we do have the CDC saying open up the schools. Now, you delegated that to the local regional level. Why not delegate that authority to the towns and villages of what businesses to open?
Right. And the horrifying thing for these businesses is when you speak up, then you're labeled as someone who doesn't care. You don't care that people are getting sick. You don't care that, you know, people are dying.
Right.
And that can't be further. That's just such an unfair human characterization for me to point a finger at anybody and say, you know, I don't think you care that people get sick, you know, because I do. But I think there are ways we can prevent it. We've figured it out with other things. And, you know, there is a lot of unknown here. So we might have to do some things that are uncomfortable, you know, wearing the mask, social distancing. Not a lot of people like it, but we're doing it and we're mainly complying. Some don't. But I think to question authority doesn't mean that, you know, we're questioning, you know, humankind and whether we want people to be sick or not. I think that's unfair.
Well said. Thank you, Tim Wenger. Let's go to Dr. Epstein. Joe Beamer brought up a point during the break that I think is pretty fascinating. If the yellow zones are showing an influx of business of 300%, it takes you 2 hours to wait for a haircut. Dr. Epstein, if their numbers don't explode in the next 10 to 15 days, isn't that evidence that this is arbitrary, capricious, whatever legal term you want to use? I mean, these decisions are putting taxpayers in these counties and the state of New York in a great disadvantage if they go to court and they lose eight-figure settlements and they're now paying out money for their decisions that they made that they know on the face of it is unconstitutional.
Yes. This is not good governance. It's capricious. They say we rely on the numbers. When the governor got into inoculating people, he said we're going to have to inoculate the entire population of the United States, and then he said, well, then we're going to have to do it again. Who's putting these things into his head? I just especially, you know, everything we deal with science, we deal with data, and then the data is whatever they selectively turn their focus to. So nothing about this is reassuring. We know this. This is a virus. It's highly contagious. They've learned how to treat it, so they've lowered the morbidity rates dramatically. We've had therapies that have now been approved by the FDA. Regeneron is one of them. And we have the vaccines that are coming online and into distribution and use. So it seems to me that instead of whipping things up, the best course would be to be more prudent. New York City schools are closed. You could throw out a school year, essentially, with the way things are being operated here. Now the head of the union, Mulgrew in New York City, he's now saying, get rid of mayoral control. It's a disaster. You know, when Bloomberg came in, mayoral control was going to be the panacea for the entire state.
Right.
And right?
Right. Oh, no, it's such a brilliant point. It's like we pick and choose what, you know, and then you look at all the Republicans in the state of New York that basically gave Cuomo this authority.
Correct. So everyone is really looking to pass the buck. And the practical effect, of course, I mean, in New York City, is to create a very, very powerful mayoralty. You'll notice that as frustrated as people are with de Blasio, no one could do a thing about it with his inept style of government. He just winds up laughing at everybody because now you have a very, very powerful office of the mayor. And the county executives, in Buffalo, of course, Buffalo is in the county of Erie. New York City is made up of five counties. So you have five county executives who really have absolutely no power whatsoever in the city of New York. They used to have power because they sat on the Board of Education. They used to have power because they were part of the Board of Estimate, which was eliminated on the one-man, one-vote ruling. So now what you've done is essentially New York City created a kind of all-powerful office of the mayor. And that's it. Four people last week got pushed onto subway tracks. Four in a week. It's by what? By homeless people, by mentally unstable people. Normal people don't shove people into oncoming trains. You follow?
Right.
And all of this is going on, and they figure, who could we take this out on? Hairdressers and gym owners.
No, they're not going to fight back.
And we're talking about businesses that the money they had to put in just to reopen, just to rearrange their gym or to make sure it was safe for hairstylists to, you know, be one-on-one with the person whose hair they were cutting. And to Mark's point about power and the governor's power, well, when's the governor going to give it up? I mean, even when COVID's done, the governor will never have to give up the power because now he has a supermajority in Albany, something that no one's focusing on because of COVID.
And the first thing they're asking for, environmental regulations, yep. $10 billion to cover debt. I mean, it's chaos. Let's go to the phones with Dr. Epstein and Joe Beamer. Let's go to Steve in Rochester. Steve, what's on your mind?
Well, that sort of just teed up my question for the good doctor. Doctor, what is to stop the governor, you know, as you listen to Dr. Fauci and things like that? You know, Dr. Fauci says, you know, even after the vaccine, we may never go back to normal. You may always have to wear a mask. Or I always suggest maybe you shouldn't shake hands anymore. What's this? Because I just distrust this governor so much because I think he's absolutely just so drunk with power. What is to stop him from saying, well, you know, once this is all done and the vaccine's been distributed, you know, this virus can morph into something different, and we really need to be vigilant. I'd like to keep this executive power because we need to be ready for the next. I mean, what's to stop him from doing that?
Well, you're right. I mean, there was a famous essay written many years ago by Hannah Arendt titled The Totalitarian Temptation, and it's, to me, very evident that the governors in the blue states have found this extraordinarily attractive. Maybe part of it is their frustration at their inability to really govern because so much of their budget goes into social welfare projects that they have absolutely no control over. So now for the first time, They're getting a taste of this kind of arbitrary power.
Power.
They like it. They like it.
You know, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you. Let's go to Debbie in Niagara Falls. Debbie, you're on with Dr. Mark Epstein, Joe Beamer, myself. Go ahead.
Okay. I need to know why this information as far as the rate of COVID cases in the nursing homes in Erie County and Niagara County is kept such a huge secret. You have the contact tracers. They have that information. Why is that information being made available, especially to people like me that have to have planned, like say, for example, I'm having joint replacement surgery. After my surgery, I have the option to go to rehab. My insurance will pay for many rehabs in Erie County and Niagara County. I should have the information available to me and be able to pick the rehab facility that has the least amount of COVID cases. This has not, right now, I could just pick by whatever I think is good. When instead, if they would make that information public, I'd be able to pick the rehab facility that has the least amount of COVID cases. But it's a huge secret. When our taxpayer dollars are paying for the contact tracers, why don't we have this information? And if not, I'd like to know why we don't have it.
Dr. Epstein, what do you think?
I can't answer that. I mean, I don't have the information either. But the caller is more than 100% right. Everything about this so-called transparency is an illusion. That, I mean, the business of contact tracing, for example, right? One, it's very difficult to do. Two, in a population like ours that's highly mobile and not concentrated in a small area, let's say. In Israel, they were doing contact tracing. But you could do something like that, you know, in a country that has a population of under 10 million people. It's and concentrated in a couple of metropolitan areas, essentially. But when we talk about contact tracing now and this business of people from other states and promising when they come in from another state they're going to stay in the house and they're not going to leave, does anyone seriously believe that we have an enforcement capability for this?
Okay. Go ahead.
One more thing. So we have the contact tracers. They know how many people in the nursing homes have COVID. It's not like we're dealing with the general population. That information is provided. Why isn't that information that you already have, I'm not saying you, either the state or the county, why isn't that made available to the public so we can make an educated decision? I'm having my surgery in December. My insurance company gives me a list of many, many nursing homes, facilities that I can go to for rehab. I should be able to pick the one. Can somebody find out for me and get back to me, please?
Well, you know, Debbie, we'll do our best. You can always call the newsroom and get to the bottom of all of those things. But
the nursing homes have been hush-hush since the beginning of this. I mean, that was the big debate in the spring. The governor dropped the ball on nursing homes from the beginning, and now it seems that numbers in nursing homes, the situation going on in nursing homes as we get back to something close of a lockdown, it seems like they're hush-hush. I mean, a lot of secrecy for something that's supposed to be keeping us safe an entity that claims they're doing this to keep us safe. They have a lot of secrecy in Albany.
But that literally, you know, Dr. Epstein, nursing homes is the easiest of all the demographics that you're trying to protect. A group of people that live in a building is the easiest to protect.
Well, if the building was built for it. The problem is, I mean, when my mother was alive, she lived in assisted living for a bunch of years. And there would be outbreaks, and then everyone in the assisted living had to stay within their room. They couldn't eat in the dining room and things like that. And I was told that this is really quite common. So the issue is, what do these nursing homes have to do to protect both the workers and the people who are there, the residents within the nursing homes? I mean, my friend just lost her father in a nursing home, and obviously he picked it up from someone who was working there. So I'm just saying that this is why you have newspapers. I mean, why isn't the Buffalo News running stories about this?
Excellent. Really excellent point. Let's go back to the phones and go to Clint in Chautauqua County. Clint, you're on with Dr. Mark Epstein, Joe Beamer, and myself. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate everything. Thank you for taking my call, David, and I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving and a safe one. I have a couple things I'd like to get off my chest. I agree with Robbie De Niro as far as standing up for his rights. I mean, if we don't have people out there willing to stand up and try to make a difference for the people, for the public, I mean, whatever happened to we, the people, in the Constitution? We do have a Constitution, and Governor Cuomo and Poloncarz are overstepping their boundaries, and we have those people that have gyms, salons, barbershops, whatever small business they have, they're hurting, and they shouldn't be. God bless them for wanting to stand up for what they believe in.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to Ray in Hamburg. Ray, what's on your mind?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hey, Ray.
Fantastic, Ray. What's going on?
Doctor, I had a question for you regarding the testing and so forth with these drive-through testings. I'm not concerned. I'm concerned is that if these contact tracers, do they pick these kits up at some place to go out and do this? And the same thing with these drive-through ones. Are these kits stored in these big containers? And does that affect the test itself from being
contaminated anyway? Yeah, let's ask Dr. Epstein. Is that a problem? You know, the test itself, we've heard about how many times this is replicated. There was a caller, a nurse, that called in yesterday and said, you know, anything over 35 replications is garbage. No one takes that as serious. Some of these tests have 40 to 50, you know, reps. So you're exaggerating what's in there. This could be a trace of something that someone's recovered from. They're no longer contagious. But if you replicate it over 35 times, it's not something that's to be taken seriously?
Look, the tests have come from many different developers. They all tests are not the same. Some tests have been developed by the hospital systems themselves. So it's very, when we speak about the tests, it's very, very difficult. I know I had to go take a breathing test. So I went to my pulmonologist. They swabbed me right there. They had an answer within 5 minutes that I was good to go. So you go to other places and they say, well, we'll have a response for you in 3 days. When we get into the, you'd have to bring an expert on tests onto the show, and that isn't me.
Got it.
How accurate they are and which ones get compromised. There are stories about people getting a swab in one nostril testing positive and the other nostril testing negative. I'm not qualified to discuss that.
I understand that. Let's go to Patrick in Buffalo. Patrick, you're on with Joe Beamer, Dr. Mark Epstein, myself. Go ahead.
So here's my idea. We, the people of the United States of America and the state of New York in particular, have come together to shut the entire state down. You're not going to be seeing any buying or selling. There'll be no technology use. We won't be on the roads. And we're also going to hold back your taxes. We're not going to pay any property taxes. We're going to shut them down. This is – Robbie De Niro is a great guy. I've been at three of the protests, and they're excellent. They're a great way for us to voice our opinion. I stand behind him 100% of the way. And I'll be at every single protest I can be at.
Well, you know, Patrick, outside of the withholding of the taxes, that pretty much sounds like the Democratic New York State platform. I mean, that is what the shutdowns will ultimately do. It appears to be that
his hands, because he can't shut us down, we shut him down. He gets no taxes, but we've got to be able to stand up and withhold taxes. There's no violence involved in that.
Right. Well, you know, I say opening up the businesses when everyone tells you to shut down is also a peaceful
That's
form of.
What we're about. They need that money.
I hear you. I hear you. Patrick in Buffalo, thank you. Dr. Epstein, as far as the, you know, what does New York State need? What is the way to punish government peacefully without violence? I mean, opening up for business when everyone tells you to shut down is a pretty good response.
Yeah, that is a response. Withholding taxes, that's, you know, you got to pay the consequences. That's certainly a form of civil disobedience. The other thing is to begin to organize politically. My own feeling is New York is such a one-party state right now. Who are they going to listen to? What are they afraid of, losing the Democratic vote?
Right. That's Dr. Mark Epstein. We had him for 2 hours today. Thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for participating. That was absolutely fantastic. Joe Beamer has got you next. He's going to carry you all the way to what, 7?
7, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Right to the...
to be young again. you'll have Mark Pulnikar's live press conference at 2:30. You will have commentary, Joe Beamer will, and he will take your call. Stay on hold. We still have people on hold. 803-0930, 1-800-616, Joe Beamer, all the way until 7 p.m. Mark Pulnikar's at 2:30. Keep it locked here all day and night. We've got you covered. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.